God commands all human beings to be happy, yet almost no one knows how to find happiness. Learn the unpopular yet effective key to happiness. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. This whole world is deceived, and one of the greatest deceptions of all is about how to be happy. Now, if you think about this, you have to wonder, well, why is that people are so deceived? Well, it's because this subject that I'm going to talk to you about is often thought of as bondage, the way it has been twisted and warped in this world. But we have a TV message that's going out to this world, a large portion of this world, and a radio station that does go out to this world. And so I have noticed that when we or I speak on this subject, that we get a less response than what we normally get. Now, I'd like to challenge you to think about this subject and also get the free literature that we'll give you at the end of this program. And as you, most of you know anyhow, that we give all of our literature away freely because we believe that God commands us to do that. Matthew 10 and verse 8 says, "Freely you have received, freely give." And so that's what we've been doing, and doing it for 70 years and more. And even today we give like over $1 million of free literature away to people, and yet we've always had the income come in that we need to do the work. So God does command us to do certain things in the Bible, and we believe He rewards us immensely for obeying that. But if you look at the world tomorrow, there are many, many prophecies. In your Bible, it says that it's going to be a world full of happiness. Well, how about today? Well, you know, if you look around, this world is filled with unhappiness, unusually strong negative feelings. And do you know that in the Bible, God actually commands us to be happy? So today I'd like to talk to you about how to be happy and remind you that God is full of joy. Full of joy. And He's creating us to be like He is, and so He wants us to be filled with that joy too. And only those people that have that joy will be in His family in the future. Notice what it says in John 13. John 13, this is actually about the Passover, which begins the Holy Day plan of God. And it says, "For I have given you an example," it's talking about the Passover and how they were to conduct it, "that you should do as I have done to you." Do. You have to do it the way He does it. Verse 17, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." So He said, "All right, look, if you follow this plan of mine and my master plan of the holy days, well, then it's going to make you happy." Now, He's talking about His people today. It will make you happy. So they have to be happy people. That is the very elect of God, and they are. Notice another scripture over in Malachi 4, verse 2. And I'll read verses 2 and 4. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son," S-U-N, "of righteousness, arise with healing in His wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall." So, look, He's talking about if you obey Him and do what He says, that your righteousness is going to be like the sun, S-U-N. It's going to be bright and shining, and you're going to be happy. And then He says, also, you'll be like a young calf in the stall that has been born not too long ago and are just jumping around all over the place because it's so thrilled to be alive and living. But notice verse 4, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto you in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Now the statutes certainly would include those holy days I just mentioned to you. So he's saying, though, that the law that Moses received on Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai was the Ten Commandments. God gave them the Ten Commandments. So you are being told here that the Ten Commandments are actually the foundation of that, well, the first five books of the Bible, and then the entire Bible itself. Moses wrote about all of this in those five books, and that's really the foundation of the entire Bible, with the Ten Commandments being the center of that foundation. He's talking about remembering now. You don't want to forget this, because this is going to make you happy. Now, God absolutely puts everything on the line, and if He doesn't make you happy this way, then, of course, God is a liar. And He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. So you read the book of Malachi, and you can see that most of God's own people have turned away from that law. 95% of them have turned away in this end time. And God says, now remember this. Remember that law of Moses that he received on Mount Sinai, with all the thunder and lightning and the earth shaking, mountain shaking. We have a booklet entitled Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, and we'll send that to you at the end of this program, and it will tell you about God's master plan for man. What is it all about? What is God's plan for man? Surely we must know that. Or why are we even here? Now let's go to Nehemiah 8 and verse 8. Here it says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if you're keeping those holy days, God says it will fill you with joy, and that is your strength. It makes you strong if you're happy, and you should be, you could be. God says that there is a formula for making you happy here in His own Bible for the whole world to see, and very shortly, Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and apply that law, and the earth is going to be an absolute paradise filled with happy and joyful people, adults, children, everybody. You can read that in many scriptures in your Bible. So the Almighty God is going to make all of that happen, and you can be sure He will. I want to read you something from the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, and it's one of the best, but I want to show you where there's something that I disagree with here. The commentary is talking about Moses and the prophets and all the law and the prophets, Luke 24 and verse 27. It goes on down where Christ was talking to the unbelieving Jews, those that didn't believe Him. And, the commentary even says all the law and the prophets as containing the fundamental principles of pure and undefiled religion. Really, I think he's already beginning to water this down. It's not about principles, it's about the law. It's about laws that make us happy. And then notice what this commentary says. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. He wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So that's Moses wrote those five books of the Bible, called the Law of Moses. And it's that the first five books of the Bible. But notice again, what he says, he goes on to say and gives you scriptures where Christ and Paul talked about all of these prophecies, mostly in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. The commentary states he has authenticated that particular class of facts which appear to human reason to stand out most in need of confirmation, the deluge, the flood. Well, people can't believe that, but Christ talked about it in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39, Luke 17, 26 and 27 verses. And then he also talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the overthrow of it. He gives three different scriptures where that's mentioned. And the fate of Lot's wife, Luke 17, verse 32. And then he mentions about Paul and what he says about the Red Sea and the golden calf. And goes back to Cain and Abel, Melchizedek and Abraham, and the lives of Enoch, Rahab, and Jericho. He talks about all of those Old Testament miracles that most people say, oh, well, that really didn't happen. That's just a kind of a myth to teach a lesson or something like that. But Jesus Christ and Paul never, ever said that and never would have said that. But I want you to notice what they did not say in this commentary. I want you to notice that they did not say what Christ said about the law, which is the foundation of the entire Bible. And Paul talked about the law in the entire Bible. He did in the commentary, nothing was said of that because most of them believe the law has been done away. But what did Christ say? Now, you'd think of that subject, since it's such an important one, about the law, would have certainly been mentioned in the commentary above some of those other miraculous events that happened within the holy days often. Notice Isaiah 9 and verse 16. It says, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Now, he's talking about the scholars and the leaders of Israel, who should be an example to the whole world if they were obeying God, but they rebelled. But he's saying now the leaders are causing you to err and leading you to your spiritual destruction and sometimes even your physical destruction. Quite often, as a matter of fact, it says the same thing in Isaiah 3 and verse 12. Those leaders cause you to err. God is emphasizing that and saying, now look, these scholars and these writers, if you'd better watch it, they cause you to err. They cause you to make serious mistakes, and certainly they make you unhappy. And he says that in many ways, and they make God unhappy by what they're doing. But let me show you what Christ said about the law. Now, he really did emphasize the law in Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, God talks about his very elect and those people that are obeying him and say, well, you're the light of the world. The light of the world. Those, if you're going to be a light to this world, you're going to be shining and happy. And people are going to see it and going to be, probably a little curious at least at times. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush and so on. It's a light. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Wow. Let that light shine and you will glorify God in heaven and they will see your good works. Verse 17, notice this amazing scripture that is so contrary to what the commentaries will tell you. You won't read this, I think, in just about 100% of the commentaries or 99% or whatever. It's close to 100% anyhow. Verse 17, I think not that I am come to destroy the law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Fill to the full. Well, how about that? He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He's saying, look, I'm going to cross every T, dot every I. The I's and the T's, it will all be taken care of in every little tiny detail as he comes to fulfill the law, to fill it to the full, perfectly. That this is the Son of God who was perfect, talking. And it's in red letter in your Bible. And this is the foundation of the whole Bible, the Ten Commandments. And it is the heart of everything if you want to be happy. And yet this world looks upon that as if you are in bondage, if you're keeping the law. And oh, what a deception that is. Look at this unhappy, miserable, dangerous world. See, this is about God's law, and most people talk about in this religious world and Christian world to talk about the law being done away. That is the opposite of what Jesus Christ taught and said, the very opposite. And so you need to see this profound message about happiness. Now look at what Paul said about the law, and the commentary didn't to mention that, and they routinely don't in the others. Paul said, verse 4, you can read the previous three verses. He talks about Israel having a zeal of God, but it wasn't according to knowledge and righteousness. And here's what Paul said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So that end means, well, it's a Greek word, telos. It means point at, aimed at. You just really get to see up close and what God and Christ are all about, and it brings us close to Christ. And if you keep that law and keep it the way God directs you to, at the end, and if you're doing it spiritually, you're going to have the very character of Christ. You're going to have His mind, Philippians 2 and verse 5. And you're going to follow His example, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. And you're going to be keeping the law of love. Verse 3 of 1 John 5 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous, as people say they are. No, they're not. They make you happy. And they fill you with love and so many wonderful characteristics. Look at how politicians just hate each other today. And the Bible says you must love your neighbor, even your enemies. They go on, they talk oftentimes about how religious they are. And oh, the hate in their lives. They're not doing what Christ said if they do that. Now that certainly can offend people, but that's what your Bible said. You see, Christ said you're going to be like the sun, S-U-N. You're going to be shining so people can see you're not hating other people. You're loving them. You're giving to them in any way you can. And it says in Romans 8 and verse 7, Paul also said this when he was talking about how to remedy that law problem. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And Paul was just telling us, say, well, look, if we want to obey God and keep His law, we can't do it unless we receive His Holy Spirit, and we'll send you literature to show you how you can do that and have the Spirit of God, and you can keep that law and be subject to it. Paul talked about Adam and Eve in one of his books. Adam and Eve goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And God, when they left, well, God just, they rejected the tree of life. And God let them go ahead and go out of the Garden of Eden, and mankind has followed them. And because they rebelled against God, They have set the example for this world, and God actually has condemned this world to 6,000 years of cutting them off from Him. Now, it's getting very close to the time when He's about to return. They've had their 6 days symbolized by the week, and Jesus Christ is going to take that seventh day and fill this world with happiness and joy. Many scriptures tell us that, but who believes them? Who believes in doing what Christ tells you to do about this? And then you can go on and see in James 1 and verses 22 through 25, it says you must be doers of the word. Doers. You have to do something. And then verse 25 talks about whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or this law, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You'll have freedom. You'll be blessed in special ways by God. And one of those blessings, well, you will be happy because you have freedom. How can you be happy without freedom? People in this world think they have freedom, but they're really in bondage. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It talks about Satan being the god of this world. That means that they worship him, and he is in bondage, and he can't show you anything but bondage. But oh, how deceived this world is, and he has done that. Verse 18 of Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. It makes you happy, and it gives you vision. And that really means you know how to make things work out in your life. You solve your problems. You have vision. You know where you're going, and you know where God is taking every single one of us. It says in verse 4 of Daniel 12, let me read verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. If you turn people to righteousness, you're going to shine forever like the stars. Now, how about that? But it says, verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, you see, they're just going to run to and fro, and things are not going to be working out the way they think they should. And then in verse 9 it says, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. And we have a booklet that will show you that book is no longer sealed. It's just to be opened only in this end time. And it will show you why the world is so filled with unhappiness and how you can fill your life with happiness and joy and a great, great purpose. That doesn't mean you won't have some trials and tests, but we're even told in the Bible to rejoice on those, even when you have fiery trials, because God is bringing it into your life if you're fearing Him, and He's going to build the very character of God within you. And he's going to make you have a future that sitting right there on the throne with Jesus Christ as Christ's bride and a very son of God being born into the very family of God. You can go on and see in Daniel chapter 9 about how Israel has transgressed God's law and the law of Moses. And God had to punish them all. He's condemning all of Israel. And that happens to include America and Britain and the Jewish nation and some other nations on this earth, but in particular those three, because they have been given some special blessings and God expects more of them. And we have literature. Our United States and Britain in Prophecy book will explain all that to you, and it is an amazing booklet. But God says we have to turn from our iniquities, turn from our iniquities and turn to that law of love and that law of happiness and that law of freedom and that law of joy. God wants us to be filled with the abundant life. He said that Christ came to fill us with that abundant life. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
God commands all human beings to be happy, yet almost no one knows how to find happiness. Learn the unpopular yet effective key to happiness. How can anyone be truly happy without a clear vision of the future? Request our free booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days. Which? To learn how God's annual Sabbaths reveal His step-by-step plan for converting all mankind to an eternal life of peace, contentment, and joy. You can know exactly which days are special to God and how to observe them properly. Doing so will fill your life with abundant blessings. Request Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which God has blessed His one true church with the most important truth in the entire world. He gives His tiny, loyal group of law keepers an overwhelming flow of new revelation. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, Daniel, Unsealed at Last, to understand how God gives His people power to know the future and to deliver His warning message, no matter the resistance. Request Daniel, Unsealed at Last. Today, it's commonly believed that freedom is the same as lawlessness. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, No Freedom Without Law, to prove that individuals, families, communities, and nations thrive only when the law is upheld. Learn whether you possess the humble attitude toward law that leads to true freedom. You will also receive a free copy of our booklet, The Ten Commandments. God's law is summed up by 10 simple principles. If applied to their fullest extent, the Ten Commandments would completely eliminate all world problems. Each commandment is love. The meaning and purpose of the Ten Commandments probably go far deeper than you realize. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which Daniel, Unsealed at Last, No Freedom Without Law, and the Ten Commandments. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.